Good morning, Terra Nova Church. My name is Dennis Gardner. I serve as one of the worship leaders at Terra. There is no lack of scripture passages that call us to worship God. God quite literally created us to worship Him. I was recently reminded of the narrative in Mark 4 of the woman at the well, where Jesus declares that worshiping God is not about a place, or a particular mountain, or a particular city, or confined to a particular building. He says in verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." For the church in the time of COVID, it's been an opportune time to remember and relearn this. The places where we worship are varied and spread out. So before we sing, let's take a second to remember the words of Christ, that the Father desires for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
So we pour out our praise, pour out our praises.
Let's pray. Lord, no matter where we are in our journey, we can have confidence that you will guide us. We can be certain that our Lord is in control and will lead us safely, ultimately, to our home and our place with you. Father, help us to continue to grow in that confidence and fearlessly follow where you would lead as you guide and as you pilot us. Amen.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shore. Charting compass, come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Chart and compass, come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother steals her child, you can hush the oceans wide. Boisterous waves obey thy will. When you say to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, grant me long and peaceful rest. Then while leaning on your chest, may I hear you say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. May I hear you say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. Chart and compass, come from thee. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, may I hear you say to me, chart and compass, come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me.
Today's scripture reading is Matthew 12, 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. May the Lord bless the reading of his.
It's great to be with you today here at Terra Nova Online. And thank you for your support and your prayers for the Capital City Rescue Mission. I've been the director of the mission for 38 years, but I've worked with Ed also on the church plan at King's and many other things that we've done together. Just want to thank you all for having me today. The passage of Scripture which has already been read to you today is from Matthew chapter 12, 1 to 14. And it's Jesus Christ doing what he does best, and that is serving the least, the last, the lost, those who are struggling. And that's what Jesus does the best. But we're going to start today by one of the verses in there, which is a key verse in that passage, which is Hosea 6:6. God in that verse says, "I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice." And of course, that's the heart of God, because steadfast love, which is a translation of the word hesed in the Old Testament, means unconditional, lavish love of God the Father upon his creation. In the New Testament, we use the word agape, and hesed and agape are words that are used together in many ways, in the fact that God's love. And so today, I've labeled my talk with you, God's number one priority is steadfast love. When it came to the ceremonial law of the Old Testament, God often chose to lay that aside to fulfill his love and to help his children serve them better. And we're going to see that in the passage today. But I want to just tell you a little bit about Capital City Rescue Mission as we get started. We're 71 years old at the Rescue Mission. During this time, tens of thousands have experienced the profound, steadfast love of God. He has provided for their immediate needs. Over 1 million people have attended chapel at the mission in 70 years. And 20,000 or more have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and yet have had their needs met. Jesus' action for us as a church, and certainly for the Rescue Mission included, he says, be merciful, be compassionate, do good, be helpful, serve the needy, disciple the poor. Moses told Israel that they should be open-handed toward their brothers and toward the poor and needy of the land. John the Baptist, who was getting ready to die, sent word, "Are you the Messiah, Jesus?" And he got word back from Jesus. Jesus said, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." This was the love of Jesus Christ to the needy, his authenticity of being the Messiah. Just 2 points today in this passage as I weave around a story that includes mission excerpts. The absolute necessity for steadfast love. The Bible says that at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat. You get a bunch of hungry fellas somewhere and they can eat a lot. But they were poor. They were those who had given all to follow Christ, and they were just depending upon the offerings of others. And these guys were poor, and they were walking through these fields of wheat, and they started to eat. That was allowed, by the way, in the law of Moses. We feed 300 meals last year. We fed 300 meals last year, and wonderful meals to the poor, to people who are about as hungry or more hungry than these guys even were. And I'm thankful that we are able to do that. We've also housed our average of 250 people a night all year. People who are tired and homeless and would be sleeping outside if it had not been for what we did with giving them beds. Right now, about 200 people throughout the capital region are sleeping outside by rivers in all kinds of situations. Many of them will find their way into the mission, and we will be more crowded when cold weather comes. Pray for those 200 that are out there. We gave away 4,000 articles of free clothing last year. There's 4 days a week that we give out free clothing, no charge. People come in. And we also have a free medical clinic 3 days a week. And we give out more medicine than you could ever see. We have our own pharmacy. Come in, take a tour sometime and see it. But these disciples were poor and hungry, and I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled many through us serving with him the needs of the homeless and needy. Pray for us as we do that. Well, there was an immediate need, hungry disciples. But there's an intense objection. The Pharisees saw it, and they said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But the law allowed what they were doing. It's just that the Pharisaical and legalistic community among the Jew had added tradition upon tradition, literally nearly thousands of small, minute additions to the law, making it so cumbersome to even try to follow it. And they said, "Look, we watched." They went through, they plucked it, they got it all off, and they started eating. I guess it's kind of like granola. And these guys were saying, "This is ill-gotten grain." And I'm thinking, okay, well, is it ill-gotten grain? And I don't think so, because the Bible says, "If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain." And all the Talmud said, you'd be shifting, threshing, and winnowing if you did what the disciples were doing. And okay, so they were not very happy with the disciples. The legalistic crowd comes in. They don't care about need. They just care about their legalisms. And as I serve in the rescue mission for 38 years, I've seen all kinds of excuses why people don't serve the poor, and some of them were even churches. And I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for your heart for the needy. Well, an insightful resolution. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, wait. He said, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? He entered the house of God, and that at the bread of the presence was eaten by him. It's not lawful for him to eat the bread of the presence, but for those who were with him, but only for the priests." Well, David was greatly admired by the Pharisaical crowd. And he said, well, you know, they went in there, and it's a ceremonial law, and God set it aside. The priest set it aside. They could eat. Now, these were six, seven-pound loaves of bread. There's 12 of them. And they probably had just changed it, because every week they changed it, it became day-old bread. I know day-old bread. For 38 years, I've seen more day-old bread than I ever want to think about. So David got the day-old bread, you know. And we give out day-old bread until we have to get rid of it, because it's not. I've heard things around the rescue mission world that a donut never tastes good fresh. A donut only tastes good at a mission when it's a day-old donut. And we have seen enough day-old donuts to sink a battleship. Fine. Jesus said David needed to eat because him and his men were coming to do a work for God, and they needed to eat, this newborn, as it were, king of Israel. God said, no, let's do good on the Sabbath. And then the temple priest, he said, have you read in the law that the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless. I tell you, someone greater than the temple is here. And Jesus and his messianic kingdom that represent that highest authority. We need volunteers at the city mission, because when we have people who serve the Lord, and these disciples were serving, and David was serving, and now the temple priests are serving, when people serve at the rescue mission, I know the Lord is blessed. And some of you may want to help serve at the rescue mission. And we have people that come in and do bag lunches and do all kinds of service. They help out with construction projects, office projects, driving vans, and getting meals ready, as you see in the slides. And we also have people who volunteer in chapel to speak. In our 71 years, chapel has always been held. There's never been time when it was not held. And God's word goes forth with power. But we need some of you to come down and preach, maybe some to sing, do some music. We always love that. Jesus said that, hey, the temple priests, yeah, they work. He said, they're in there working. And it's the Sabbath. But God allowed the ceremonial law requirement for them to be set aside so that they could serve him. The goal of the Sabbath, too, to serve the Lord and to do good. And that's where we get our verse that we started with today. Jesus said, if you had known what it means, I desire love and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, the disciples. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And you know what? He's still Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of all. And he sends us all out to serve the poor and the needy with his chesed. We said as we began that the key to this message is God's chesed love, his agape love. And that's what the key is. God sets aside often his ceremonial law, not the moral law, but the ceremonial law, and says, we're going to do good. And in order to do good, we're going to have to deal with some modifications to the ceremonial law. And that's just exactly what he did. I love the steadfast love of God. You know, that word hesed in the Old Testament is translated in so many different ways because it's such an expansive and wonderful word. Often the King James translators just said it was loving kindness. I like the word loving kindness, actually. It's God's love showing kindness, and early on, that's what the translation was. And I want to go out and have an army of people serving the poor in the capital region, showing God's love and kindness together, and we'll win. We'll win many souls to the Lord because they'll see God's loving kindness, and you'll see it through us. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you, I was in prison, and you visited me. And as you did it to one of these, the least of my brothers, you did it to me. And I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for allowing us to serve in your name those who are struggling. Well, the encounter with the Pharisees over the Sabbath was oppressive, but it was showing that God, through his Son, has a high priority on love. Just before this passage of Scripture, Jesus gave an invitation. The invitation is still around today. It's a valid, wonderful invitation. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, the Jews of the day, the Pharisaical Jews, had laid so many oppressive laws, especially Sabbath laws and other laws, on the backs of the people, laws that God, we'll call them traditions, that God never meant to be carried by these folk. And so Jesus said, I know you're oppressed by these, but he said, I have come, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you, walk with me. And we disciple men and women at the mission in recovery. helping them with the burdens of these life, the life that they're leading, and having them follow Christ. We have our men's program, because I don't want people just to stay homeless. I want them to come up to a level of recovery in Christ. Our new life programs right now are still, we're still changing. Some of them, we're writing a new program called Relapse Prevention. So if somebody does go out and fall again, we don't beat them up. We just say, come back in, because we now have this program to really help you with your relapse prevention. And that's being done by Dale Walker, my director of men. You'll love to see it. If you want a copy of it, probably it'll be done in a few weeks. And then our women's program, women who are broken and bruised and their lives are so beaten, and yet they're now in our recovery programs, and we're just finishing a new 25,000 square foot building by Christmas for our new women. Come down and see it. I'm just saying, Lord, thank you that we can be what Christ was, a burden lifted for the poor. And that's what the church can do through Christ, as lift burdens. Wow. What a program that God has for us, love. The Bible says when we were powerless, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly and those who are burdened, and for us. He saw us in our powerless need, and Jesus Christ died for us, and we now have Christ in our hearts if we've trusted him. And maybe you're sitting here, or you're sitting wherever you are, you're listening. You say, I need Christ. I need him to take these terrible burdens off of me. I want to put his yoke upon me. I want to be in service with him, but I want to trust him as my Lord and Savior. We said there'd be 2 points. The first is the awesome priority of God is loving kindness. That's why he sent Jesus to save us. But the awesome display of steadfast love is found in verses 9 through 14, immediate need. He went from there, Jesus, telling them what he believed God wanted him to do. To do good. And he left there, and the Bible says he entered the synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. And I can see it now. They were all looking down their noses at Christ. Possibly he was brought in for that purpose, but he definitely was there. And his right hand, the Gospel of Luke says it was his right hand, was shriveled, and just he could not use it. I don't know about you, but if I had my right hand withered like that, it would be a terrible dilemma in life, a disability. And they said to him, not how can we help this man? Well, what can we do for him? They said, is it lawful to heal him on the Sabbath? We have to understand something. On the Sabbath, the Jews had a rule in all the minutiae of their rules that unless someone was dying at that time, you could not give medicine, first aid, or anything else. You could not do it on the Sabbath. So unless they were in a CPR capacity. This week at the mission, a man came in. We don't know why, but he came in. He fell on the floor. We called for the ambulance. But before that could happen, my trained staff, wonderful, many of them street people themselves, had taken care to find out if he had a pulse, all of that, and then they got the defibrillator out, and they knew how to use it, and they shocked him a couple times, and they did CPR, and they actually did respiration on him, and they worked on him for 9 minutes to bring back a pulse, and when they came to us from the ambulance, they took over, but they said, you guys did a great job. We need to look at your video and make sure you did the defibrillation all right. And they did, and we were able to get our guys to say, the police and the fire said, great job, just like the book told us. And I think, Lord, thank you. But this man wasn't in need of CPR, but he did need his hand. And Jesus is saying, it's good to do good on the Sabbath. We're going to lay aside all of your things, and we're going to do that. He said, which of you, if he has a sheep, this very impactful answer, and it fell in a pit on the Sabbath, would you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value is a man than a sheep? So is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? You guys are going to have to decide that, but I'm going to do it. The Sabbath was made for man, he said, and not man for the Sabbath. An instant cure takes place. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretches out his hand, and as he does, it's restored. Can you imagine having to live with that disability your entire life, and in one instant, the Son of the living God on the Sabbath, because it's doing good on the Sabbath is the hesed love of God, his loving kindness. And it was restored. Jesus restores lives. I think of one slide that I have here is Margarita and her son. 6 years ago, Margarita came to us as a raging alcoholic, had lost the custody of her three sons. When she came to us, she was a wreck. She thought there was nothing for her left. And God moved in her heart. She came to faith in Christ with strength. And 6 years later, she has just finished her bachelor's degree, and she's working as assistant director, but the director of programs at our women's facility. Awesome turnaround what God has done in her life, and it's all the Lord Jesus Christ that has done it. Because the Bible says again, when we were powerless, Christ died for us. He died for us in our extreme need. I want to thank you all for what you have done for the City Mission and your prayers for us, but I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to express the loving kindness, the hesed love of the Old Testament, the agape love of the New Testament that says, I'll even love my neighbor, I'll even love anybody with any need, and I'm going to go on. And we're going to, an army of believers to go out and express the loving kindness of Jesus Christ to the poor. And I want to tell you that I believe that there's a harvest of the poor coming soon. Right after this virus starts to clear up, we know that we're going to be inundated with a lot of people at the City Mission. And who else but those who carry in their bosom the expressed hesed loving kindness of God to go out and make a powerful difference in their lives. But maybe you're here listening to my voice and you need Jesus Christ's wonderful love upon your life, and you need to turn from your sin and turn from the burdens of your life and say, Jesus, be my Savior. Be my Lord. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. You love me so much you died for me, that if I would believe in thee, Lord Jesus, I would have eternal life. And right now, the best I know how, I turn from my sin and I turn to you and I say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're God's Son who died for me and paid the price of all my sin. Come into my life and save me. And those who know Christ with power in your life, we're grateful for your help, but we are challenged today to go forth by Jesus. As he said, God is not interested at that point in that ceremonial law piece. He said, but he is interested in showing his steadfast love. And mercy, sometimes it's translated. But his steadfast love. Thank you for being here. God bless you and keep you and send you forth with a new set of directives and heart to serve the poor and needy. Come and see us. Go online, capitalcityrescuemission.org, and see how you might come in. Right now, volunteers are starting to come back. We can use your help. Come for a tour. We're still giving tours. We've been open during these COVID days, and we have been open. We have not closed. We have not had a case amongst our clients being there. God has protected and blessed us, and we've been able to preach the gospel every day, and we are an open rescue mission. Cautious, using plenty of hand, plenty of all the precautions and distancing and masks that we have, but yet knowing that we are here in tough times to bring God's everlasting, powerful love and kindness. God bless you, and thank you for letting me come.
Come boldly to the throne of grace, we wretched sinners come and lay what he has done.
makes the blind to see. The sinner lost, he came to save and set the prisoner.
Hallelujah.
Good day, Terra Nova. My name is Dennis Gardner. I serve as the operations director at Terra in Troy. If you're new to Terra and would like to know more about us, who we are as a church, what we believe, please visit our website, terranovachurch.org. And you can also email us directly at troyquestions@terranovachurch.org. If you would like to tithe or donate to support Terra's mission to make more and better disciples of Jesus, there are ways to do so listed here, and there are accompanying links in the description below. As one of Terra Nova's first steps toward reconvening our regular Sunday morning services at Revolution Hall, many of our small groups, which we call tribes, have started to band together in groups of four or five tribes for hour-long outdoor services that have live preaching and live worship. Tribes are our primary place of discipleship, of pastoral care, and of mission. They have been foundational during this time of COVID-19, and they continue to serve their purpose as well. So if you attend Terra Nova and are not currently in a tribe and wanting to join one, there is a link below in the description to get you started on that process.
Today's benediction comes from Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.